going to start a new series. I've entitled it The Perfect Man. The Perfect Man. How many of you would like that, ladies? Some of you already have it. Jackie's not here to say amen. But you'll see that's not what I'm talking about anyway. There's our first slide, the perfect man. And you see it's there's not a picture of any guy up there. I couldn't find your picture, David, or I would have put it up there. If Frank was here, Frank the man, I would have put him up there. But no, it's a picture of heading down the road. I'm traveling, right? I'm moving on. And the reason is because the scripture that we're about to read, when the scripture talks about the perfect man, or even the word perfect, you'll see that it's different from how we use the word perfect. It really is. That's why it's so important that theology and Bible study be a church event. It's not an individual person event, because we help one another, and as iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. And so Bibles get translated from their original language. And, you know, there's Bible translations that are word for word. There's some that are sentence, thought to thought. And sometimes it's very difficult to translate accurately the thoughts that are coming from another language. And so when we hear the word perfect, it's really different than what the scripture means by perfect. If you remember last week for Mother's Day, I spoke on the word destruction. How about that? Right? For Mother's Day, destruction. And showed how that word isn't how we think about the word destruction. We think about like totality, like utterly gone when you hear the word destruction. But that's not what the word means in the original Greek. And we saw that last week. If you want to hear that message, you can go online and look on our website on the Mother's Day message. And that actually the word for destroy there is that a woman had lost a coin, and that word lost is destroy. Right? There's a big difference when you think about the word destroy and lost, right? Because something that we hear is lost, what can it be? It can be found. So, but that word is destroyed. The woman lost a coin. It was destroyed. The coin was destroyed. And so what did she do? She swept her house until she found it. And when she found it, she called together everyone and said, come with, rejoice with me. I found my coin. Now, would you use the word destroy there? I wouldn't. But that's the word that gets translated. So we're going to look at this scripture. This is Ephesians chapter 4. The perfect man, verses 11 through 14. And he himself, Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. What for? For the equipping of the saints, hagios. God calls us hagios, holy ones. You know what word in the scripture is when the scripture says Holy Spirit? Hagios. Same word. God calls us the same thing he calls himself. The saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to what? A perfect man. That's where the title of this series came from, to a perfect man. In other words, God is taking us to a perfect man. That is his plan. That is his mission. That is the strategy God has for the world, to bring us unto a perfect man. We'll talk about that. Perfect man to the measure, to the stature of the fullness of Christ. So this perfect man, when he gets there, notice he gets there. We're going to talk about that. It's not perfect like now, but we get there. And so when we do get there, to the stature of the fullness of Christ, we will represent, we will express Christ when we're to this perfect man. That we should no longer be tossed around like children. All right, so this journey that we're on this road that you see to the perfect man, we're children. And then when we progress down that road, we'll no longer be children. We may be adolescents. Scripture talks about children, adolescents, young men, and fathers. We won't be tossed around to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. All right, so that's where we get this idea of the perfect man. So again, talking about words. Words are very important. If I say to you, ladies, what is a perfect man? Who said me? Is that true, Justine? She said, yeah. We should just have the altar call now. Revelation 21:8, all liars will find their place in the lake of fire. Right? So again, we're talking about words. Perfect. What is a perfect man? The way we think of perfect. The Bible here uses the word teleos. Teleos. I use this word telos a lot when I speak. I don't know if many of you catch it. I'm trying to make a point when I use this word telos. And this is a form of it. Teleos. Telos is the place that God is taking us. It is the finished product. It is the end. But it doesn't mean the end like we think of it. Because telos and teleos isn't about perfection like we think about it. Like it's done, it's complete. You can't add anything to something that's perfect, right? It's perfect. So there's nothing left to grow. There's nothing left to add to it. So the next slide kind of gives us a picture of this as well. This is Matthew chapter 5, verses 41. And the scripture says this, and this is a high calling if we read it like we think we read it. Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Okay, we believe God is perfect, right? Holy, whole. But here God is saying to us, Jesus is saying to us, be perfect. That's a pretty high standard, isn't it? That's a pretty high bar to reach. Especially when you think of the word perfect as there's nothing wrong with it. It's done. It's whole. So this word teleos does not mean perfect like we think perfect. It's more of a picture of a fully ripe piece of fruit. Something that has matured on the vine. Maturing, that's a good word. Something that is maturing is perfect in the scripture. Something that is becoming fully ripe. Another picture that tries to describe it is think of a pirate's telescope. Right? And how it comes out and unfolds in pieces, and it goes through process until it comes to its fullest length. So, with that being said, perfect in the scripture does not mean without flaw. Thank God. Because if God is saying to us, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, if the standard is 100% perfection, goodbye, we all fail, we're done. So, but if perfect means mature, become fully ripe, then that is something that we can strive to. That is something that as we stay connected to the vine, the life of God and the Spirit of God in us produces his life, and God is taking us unto this perfect man. And so perfect meaning on that next slide, Diane, is not perfection, but fully ripe or mature. Can you imagine if when you went to school and the standard was this? All right, kids, we're going to take a test. And the test that you're going to take, you have to get 100% on or you fail. You can't get 99, you can't get 80, you can't get 70, you can't get 60 like I used to get. Good, strong D student. I just thought of something on the way over here. We had A, B, C, D, F. What happened to E? Right? Then I thought F is for fail, so that makes sense. Right? D is probably, that's where I was dumb. Right? C is probably common. B is like brilliant. And A is like excellent. And that's why I'm a D student. Excellent. That was excellent. Okay. Anyway, so now if we go back to this idea of God giving leadership and gifts to the body itself so that we can be equipped by one another till we come to the unity of the faith to a perfect man. We see now that this isn't something that we are right now, and that the standard isn't 100% perfection, but the call is to maturity. The call is to fully ripe, becoming fully ripe, right? And so with that reality, next slide, maturity comes through process. So this idea of God bringing us to this perfect man is about maturity and becoming fully ripe. And it has to happen through process, because things don't become mature immediately, do they? No, they don't. So if I ask you again, what is a perfect man, ladies? And do you have one, regardless of what anyone says? That's a difficult standard. But if I say to you, do you have a mature man? Do you have someone who's in process? Do you have someone who is, when they do screw up, they're able to say, "Ah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I didn't, that's not how I meant to say it." That's what a perfect man is. That's process. So God's okay with when you sin, if you confess your sin, because you're in process. That really helps me, and it should help you, in allowing us to rest in the love and the compassion and the patience of our Savior, because He knows we're in process. And that His standard for you and for me isn't 100%. And that He understands that He is bringing us to the telos. He knows that's going to happen, because He's there now already, because God is not subject to time, space, and matter, right? God's already there, just like God's already in our past and God's in our present. God's already in our future. I know, but it's true. He's transcendent of time. He's transcendent of space and matter. And God has already told us that scripture we read, that is where we are going. To complete maturity and to complete fully ripeness. He will bring us to that place. And so God has us in process. Also, I want you to recognize that the scripture, because of the way we read it and the way we are in American Western Christianity, we always think of these scriptures for ourselves individually. Remember when we did the Lord's Prayer? And everything in the Lord's Prayer is about us, not me. Well, same with this. When God is talking about a perfect man, He's not talking about an individual. You know what He's talking about? He's actually talking about all of humanity. That He is making mankind in His image. So you might think now, and things are going through your head, what do you mean all mankind? What about ins and outs? What about saved and unsaved? What about, as you begin to study these things in the scriptures, you'll find that when God talks about man, He's talking about mankind. So when God created Adam, we think a person, there's nothing wrong with that. But the reality is that all of us were in Adam. When God created Adam, he created all of mankind. So let me put it this way. When you were born, were you born? When you came into this world, were you affected by what Adam did way back when it happened? Yes. You know why? Because you were in Adam. And the scripture says that by one man's disobedience, death entered the world. So all of us were in Adam. That's the bad news. The good news is that now there's a new creation. That was the old creation. The new creation is as in Adam all die, so in Christ, what? All live. In the same way all mankind was in Adam, the first Adam, all of mankind is also in the second Adam, or also the last Adam. And so God is taking this perfect man, he's making mankind into his desire and purpose. And that we will bear the image of our Creator. Because God's not weak and he's powerful to save. So with that being said, that it's not about a perfect man, an individual. It's not about one person. It's about humanity. That takes us to the next slide. If maturity comes through process, then how does this process happen? It happens through community. Right? God is making all of mankind into this perfect man. God is making all of mankind into his image, love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gladness, patience, self-control. Self-giving, self-sacrificial, other-centered love. That's who God is. And that all that is happening to us. We are being formed into his image by the Spirit of God. It's a process, and that process happens through community. What do you mean by that? Well, it's easy for me to think that I can express the character and the nature of God while I'm alone on my bed doing devotions. I have incredible time with the Lord when I'm alone. And so that when I tell you I spend time with the Lord and he tells me these things and I have wonderful time and oh my goodness, I'll weep and I'll cry and I'll think, man, I'm on the mountaintop. I must be just, I'm one with God, and it's so easy to be that way when I'm by myself. And then I have to get up out of my bed and encounter the rest of the world. And that's when the reality of my process comes to my face. When I get to meet people who aren't like me, don't agree with me, think differently than me, offend me, that I offend, that I get hurt from, that I hurt. And then all of a sudden, the reality comes and the rubber meets the road that in community is where this process happens. It's easy to think that you're mature. You know, we're talking about maturity. And if I would ask this question, and you might ask the Lord this question, where are you in the maturity track? Because he'll tell you if you want to hear. You might not like what you hear. Because maturity comes through process, and process happens through community. It's easy to do things in Jesus all by yourself. It's even easy to do Jesus on social media. It's easy to do it on YouTube, where you don't have to meet anybody face to face and talk to them and hear them. So this perfect man that God is taking us to, mankind, listen to the reality of it. It's going to happen through real people in real community. It's going to happen through real people, not fake people, not people online, real community with real people. And guess what? The only way we grow is by resistance. The only way muscles happen is through resistance. The only way endurance happens is by pushing the envelope. Like an example I used weeks ago, you're not going to go out and run 20 miles today just because you feel like it and you think it's a good idea. You're going to have to first run 10 yards and hopefully you won't keel over. And then you may try 100 yards. You build it up, right? And so God is a covenant God and we need to be a covenant people. And shallow relationships will not work. They don't work in real life when you can just say goodbye because someone hurt your feelings. Or because you can say, I don't want to deal with you anymore because you're not like me. The community that God is making, this perfect man that he's making, is going to consist of Democrats and Republicans. As much as you don't like it, sorry. Because it's easy to get together with people of your same political bent and talk about everything you don't like about other people and how can they think that way. But that's not the man God's making. That's not the humanity God is making. God is making a humanity that is in Christ, that is of his character and nature, of his likeness, that is very diverse. Do you like ice cream? I love ice cream. There's more than one kind of ice cream. That's why Baskin-Robbins, that's what they made their name on. How many flavors? I can't remember. 32? 31? Yeah. I think there's more than 31 flavors now. Yeah. So, is your favorite ice cream vanilla? Anybody? Chocolate. Strawberry. Cookies and cream. Pistachio. Dulce de leche. Fudge. Right? I can go on and on and on. Right? Your favorite is not someone else's favorite because you're unique. Even your taste buds are different than everybody else's. Your likes and your... Point is, God has no problem with this diversity. There's a buzzword. Everybody doesn't like vanilla ice cream. And this perfect man that God is making. Right, here's the best part about it, right? How many denominations do you think are out there? 30, 31. Like Baskin-Robbins. Right? 31 flavors of denominations, and that's less than there is, but we'll just do that because that's what we're talking about. 31 flavors of denominations out there, and we're all telling the world how to love one another. And the reason there are denominations is because they split over what they could not agree on. Could not agree. So what do? Birds of a feather, what do? We flock together. That's not the man God's making. John in the Revelation says, and I saw multitudes upon multitudes and myriads from every tribe, every nation, every tongue, every race. God is bringing all of humanity under the banner of Christ, and it will not look like you. It will not look like me. It will be multifaceted. It has to work in real community with real people. And so our journey to this mature man and becoming like God is his character is self-sacrificial, self-giving, other-centered, and that has to happen in community. And when we are in community, everything that is opposite to the self-giving, self-sacrificial, other-centered love of God gets exposed in community. Doesn't happen when I'm alone. Doesn't happen when I hang out too much with birds of a feather. It happens when I'm around people who don't agree with me, with people who hurt me, with people I hurt. That's what gets exposed. So what's the next slide, Diane? Probably something important. Oh, yeah. So what does Jesus say is the one sign that they'll know you're my disciples, they'll know you're followers? I mean, what's the one thing? The way you love one another. That's the next slide. The way you love one another. And so how do we love one another? We love one another because we agree. We love one another because we agree on the rapture. Or if there is one. We agree with one another because we believe that we're in the end times and the Antichrist is about to expose himself. Or if there is one. That's why. We agree. The reason we love one another is because we believe that Genesis is about seven literal 24-hour days. When the mechanism for understanding time and hours was made on the third day. That's when the sun was created. We love one another because we're pro-Second Amendment. We love one another because we're Steeler fans. We have some very sad people in this congregation who are Raven fans. Philly fans. Right? When does the way we love one another really shine? When we disagree. When we're hurt. When we get offended. That's why this man that God is making, when God says, when someone offends you, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to talk about him with everybody else. The way I read it is, Jesus said, if someone offends you, you got to go to them. And they're not going to listen to you, so what do? You get two people, three people who agree with you, and then you go to them. Now you've got more gunpowder. And if they don't agree with you, then you go to everybody in the church who agrees with you. And then you really give it to them. And if they don't get, then they're out of here. Right? No, what if something happens, this is why the Lord tells us to go to somebody. Because face to face, you get to hear. If I've offended you, I'm going to give you one of two things. I'm going to give you an explanation or an apology or both. And I would guess that the majority of offenses that happen in community, all they need is an explanation because you read it wrong. You saw it through a lens that was never meant to be. You heard the words that were never even spoken. Trust me, it happens. I speak publicly all the time, and one of my favorite things that happens is after a service or later that week, and they say, Pastor, when you said this, it like set me free. And I'm thinking, I didn't even say that. And it works the opposite too. People get mad at me and they're like, you said, and I go, no, I didn't say that. So the reason we go to one another is so that we can offer an explanation or an apology. And that will take care of, I would guess, up to 90 to 95% of issues. But it happens face to face. It happens in community. There are things in my character and nature that need you to sharpen me. I'm in process. You're in process. We're all in process. We're in process to maturity unto a perfect man. And all of mankind, I get to look at every human being I ever meet and see the image of God in them and honor and respect them regardless of their political stance, regardless of their heritage, their race, their creed, their opinions on relationships. I get to look at them and know that God is working the telos in them. That is so freeing. And so enables me to sincerely love an individual instead of having an agenda. So this perfect man we're going to be exploring as we go through this series. And it's beautiful to see where God is going, because that gives me vision. I get to partner with God on his mission. I don't wander around in life anymore because I see where God is going. And the things that I can't figure out are the things that I have a hard time understanding, or situations arise that are mystery to me, or why this or why that. It gets covered by my shepherd, my good shepherd, who is leading us to this place of his desire. In Eden, what was the mission? Do you remember? God creates Adam, and then he puts Adam in a, well, God creates all the, everything that's made and creates Adam, womb man. The man with the womb hasn't been created yet. God puts Adam into a sleep, takes out his rib, turns it into a womb man. And then he gives them authority over the garden. And then what does he say? What's the mission? Go subdue the entire earth. In other words, my authority, what I've created here, I want you in relationship with me to go and take this love and this purpose to the entire world. So this will give us a picture of perfect, right? Because I used to think God created the earth and it was perfect. In other words, everything was perfect and we're going back there someday into this perfect world. And that's not the case, because if Adam and Eve had to subdue it, and or think of it this way, God's creation needed to mature. God's creation needed to become fully ripe. And for that to happen, God was going to use Adam and Eve to bring about all of creation into this perfect, fully ripe position and status. So it wasn't perfect like it didn't need anything. It was maturing. Creation needed to mature. I don't know what you think about Adam and Eve and the first two people and how they were in their intelligence. I used to think they were probably like, you know, so smart and like they were just had this genius mentality, but not anymore. I think they needed to grow. They needed to mature. Jesus, when he was 12, where did they find him? He was in the temple. And they, you know, where you been? He said, don't you know I have to be about my father's business? And then it says, and then he humbled himself and submitted to his mom and dad, and he grew. The Son of God grew in stature and wisdom and favor with God and man. Jesus needed to become perfect. He needed to fully mature and fully ripen. So in Eden, the mission was the same thing that it is now. It's take this kingdom of mine and take it to the whole world. Not go get people saved, Adam and Eve. Take my kingdom to the world. So on earth, that's still the mission. Notice I didn't say in earth. The reason I said on earth is because of a prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's still the plan. That's still the mission. If you can begin to grasp that with new eyes, God had to destroy my old eyes so that I could have new eyes. Or no, that's even wrong. Well, maybe it is right. Destroyed from the biblical word. God had to open my eyes. He, oh, wake up, sleeper. That's the type of language the scripture uses. Is we're asleep in so many ways. And then when we wake up, when we get a revelation, we wake up to this. Is that is what you are part of. You are part of this mission to bring maturity to all of creation. That's your vision. That's your mission. That's your goal. And you're a part of that. So, in Romans chapter 8, it says this. All of creation is groaning. All of creation, all of the cosmos, everything. The heavens, the earth, all that's in the earth. Birds, bushes, trees, human beings. All of creation is groaning. And guess what it's groaning for? The manifestation of the sons of God. It's groaning. Paul uses the picture of labor. It's in labor pains until we get to this place, this stage of maturity that God is taking us to. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. The reason it's taking so long is because God gave you one of the greatest gifts you can ever have, and that is your own free will. And he loves and he honors you so much that he's not manipulating or controlling you to take you somewhere you don't want to go. But what he does is he constantly reveals a little bit more and more of his nature and his character, which is love, absolute, unconditional, other-centered, self-sacrificial, self-giving love. And that melts us. And Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians. And when we behold that, as we look to God, we see the glory of God like a mirror. We see the reflection of him. We are transformed into that very image from glory to glory to process. That's the mission. That's what's happening right now. Doesn't matter what you hear on the news. Doesn't matter what you see in different countries. It doesn't matter what wars arise. And I don't mean that flippantly. Like, I know people are in suffering. And what I'm saying is nothing will thwart God's all-seeing reality that we are headed to, because God wins. And he wins through love. And he wins through patiently allowing his creation to come into that reality. So I invite you to seek his face on that reality. Let's bow our hearts together. Father, I thank you that we don't see you through words and facts and data. We see you through revelation. We truly see you through revelation, what the word calls apocalypse, to pull the veil back. And so, Father, we ask you, as individuals and corporately, pull the veil back so that we can see. And like the seraphim, we'll fresh and anew say, holy, 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 because we see you in a greater way. And Lord, that will change us. We want to partner with you. We want to co-labor with you. We want to join you in this great cause, because it'll be good, because you are good. And so, Father, we just wait as you bring us into this revelation after revelation after revelation that will change us. I thank you for the privilege of loving on myself and on others as you have loved me. And we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And all of God's people said, amen, amen.